WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. Roman Catholic cardinals are expected to meet at the Vatican today to decide funeral plans for Pope Francis, who died Monday at age 88. ABC's James Longman.
Today, they will meet to decide when the funeral will be. Mm-hmm. Usually the funeral is between 4 and 6 days after death. So we would expect during this period of mourning, there's a 9-day period of mourning, over the weekend, we predict that his funeral will take place.
Following Senator Chris Van Hollen of Maryland, four House Democrats have traveled to El Salvador to draw attention to Kilmar Abrego Garcia, deported by the Trump administration to a notorious El Salvador prison and has refused to help return, even after the Supreme Court ruled the government must do so. Representative Maxwell Frost of Florida says this trip is about more than just one man.
We're worried, of course. We demand the release of Abrego Garcia, but we're also worried about our own constituents. We represent people across the entire nation.
This is ABC News. The gunman responsible for killing 23 people in a racially motivated attack in an El Paso Walmart pleaded guilty to capital murder Monday as part of a plea deal to avoid execution. Dozens gave victim impact statements before Patrick Crucius was sentenced to life in prison without parole. Among them, the sister-in-law of victim Arturo Benavides, who spoke through a translator.
You left my sister with panic attacks, depression, and loneliness.
Y hasta ahorita no se ha podido recuperar.
And up until now, she has not been able to recover.
Pero no nomás a ella, sino a, nos destrozaste a toda la familia.
But not only her, you destroyed our whole family.
The Department of Education announced Monday it'll begin collection next month on student loans that are in default. About 5.3 million borrowers are in default on student loans. The department says involuntary collections will begin May 5th. I'm Stephanie Officer, ABC News.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Starr joins us here on Nightlight. Your timing, Goodfellas, Mike. What you just said was an ad-lib to De Niro. He's like, security, and you're just like, you're looking at him.
Well, that whole scene was improvised. And Paul Hip, he said, make sure you don't call it ad-libbing. It's improvisation. It was quite a process that Martin Scorsese put us through over a few days that it would come out like that. It wasn't just like, hey, how you doing?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We are the keepers of the wild. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving the natural landscapes that define our nation. Nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters. Together with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. For more information, visit OutdoorStewards.org.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Brewers clobber the A's. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers had a season-high 16 hits on the way to a 14-1 win over the A's. Milwaukee stole 9 bases in the game, 6 of them in just one inning, both franchise records. The Brewers' Sal Frelick.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that every team and every catcher thinks that, like, whether we're stealing or not, just being at first base or second base, the pitcher and catcher thinking about you is a success.
Manager Pat Murphy.
I think that's one of the ways we win. You know, we win by collecting hits, taking walks, stealing bases, having the threat to steal, which gives you a better pitch to hit sometimes. That's one of the ways we can beat you.
The Crew in San Fran tonight against the Giants. NBA, Bucks getting ready for game 2 tomorrow night after losing 117-98 Saturday to the Pacers.
I think we were late. We didn't have enough urgency. Going to game 2, hopefully we can improve that or we can change that. We'll see. But going to game 2, we're going to be better.
That's Giannis Antetokounmpo with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Hayden Christensen returns to the Star Wars franchise as Anakin Skywalker. He will join the cast of Ahsoka for season 2 and play himself as a teenager. The actor broke the news at a Star Wars event in Tokyo, Japan. Christensen first played the character in 2002 in Attack of the Clones and then in Revenge of the Sith. He appeared in 2 episodes of Ahsoka Season 1. Season 2 is expected to drop in 2026 after the release of The Mandalorian and Grogu. The amount of inside Hollywood information spilled on the Happy, Sad, Confused podcast to host Josh Horowitz must be overwhelming at times. Emilio Estevez appeared recently and shared the story of his father, Martin Sheen's drunken meltdown on the set of Apocalypse Now, in which Sheen ran naked around the set while trying to be corralled by Estevez and his mother. Hard to imagine this kind of behavior from the Sheen patriarch. Sounds more like a Charlie Sheen kind of thing.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Increasing clouds with showers and storms in the overnight, and some of those storms producing some heavy rainfall. Lows in the upper 30s, close to 40 degrees. Shower and storm chance continues into Tuesday. Heavy rainfall and highs close to 70. Right now it's 37.
Earl Ingram.
It's the final episode of the Earl Ingram Show. I want to thank everybody. I'll share on how to stay connected, and then attorney Scott Harris will join me in the studio to share his inspiring story.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome to hour 3 of our program. You'll recall yesterday, Easter Sunday, Donald Trump went to his Virginia golf course. You know, he doesn't go to church, never has, although he loves to proclaim that he's a Christian, to play golf. And, you know, apparently between holes went off on a rant in which he said, Happy Easter. We will make America great again. Donald J. Trump, President of the United States. Yeah. And then he goes, the businessmen who criticized, this is in all caps, right? The businessmen who criticized tariffs being both bad at business and really bad at politics. He then shared his golden rule of negotiation and success. He says, Russia and Ukraine should start to do big business with the United States of America, which is thriving and make a fortune. And he wraps his rant up by calling himself, quote, the greatest friend American capitalism ever had. Right. So let's just review the greatest friend American capitalism ever had's performance. He has introduced chaos. Absolute screaming, flaming, market crashing chaos into international trade markets. His tariff wars, particularly with China, have upended global supply chains. They've created uncertainty, which is the opposite of what capitalism wants. I mean, capitalism, you know, likes predictability. Every business likes predictability. Most every business. There are some businesses that thrive in unpredictable circumstances, but they're the exception to the rule. So, number one, he introduced chaos into global trade markets. Number two, he undermined the rule of law, which is the basis for institutional predictability. If you're doing business, you know, I'm making my widgets in China, and I discover that if Tim Apple, you know, Trump's name for Tim Cook. If Tim Apple gives Donald Trump $1 million for his inaugural slush fund, and then suddenly his company gets a pardon from the tariffs, but I haven't given him $1 million and I can't. I mean, that's institutional predictability is a big deal. I'm going to sneeze here in a second. Pardon me. Always come in twos, right? So, number three, he expanded the deficit and the national debt with no return on investment. He added $7 trillion to our national debt in his first term and claimed that it would cause the economy to boom. It didn't. In fact, the economy crashed under Trump. Reagan started this lie back in the 1980s that, oh, if we reduce taxes on rich people, the job creators, they'll use that extra money that they get from not having to pay taxes to pay their people better and to develop new products. It's a lie. It's just a simple lie. But Trump did it, and so now we've got a $36 trillion debt. He politicized the Fed and other independent institutions. He's been pressuring the Fed to lower interest rates. That's why the Dow is down 1,100 points right now. It was because of his early morning rant about Jerome Powell. Number five, he favors crony capitalism over true competition. I mean, if you want capitalism to work, regulated capitalism to work, and it can work